This is Bedside, a podcast series on a mission to debunk sex. I'm your host, Tatiana, and each week we uncover stories, ideas, and expert information to help guide you on your ever-evolving journey of deep love, relationships, and good sex. Oh, and a little bit of manifestation sprinkled in there too. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bedside Podcast. I'm your host, Tatiana. Happy Wednesday. I'm so excited to be hanging out with you guys. This week, I'm coming to you with a solo sesh, so it's just you and me together hanging out. So excited about it. I've been loving solo sessions, particularly because I feel like it's just a great time for us to like catch up. And I love me some great interviews with guests, but honestly, I feel like on the sidelines, I am with you guys like equally as a listener and a learner with all of my guests. And then I feel like I go and apply so much of my learnings to my own lifestyle. And I was excited to come on today because I very much am excited to share with you guys a bit of kind of the hormonal health updates and the hormone health protocol that I have kind of put myself on in the past couple weeks. Yeah, so there's a lot there. We're going to be chatting all about hormone health and cycle syncing today and a lot of the routines that I have been actually implementing for myself. Personally, I feel like when the topic of hormone health has always come up for me in the past, it's always felt kind of like this big umbrella topic, like what is going on? And it wasn't until I got some of my own lab work back and then I could really kind of apply certain routines and have reason behind a lot of the rituals that I've now implemented, kind of like optimizing my hormone health, if you will. So I hope to kind of debunk a little bit of that with you guys today. But before we get into everything, a few fun things I just wanted to catch up with you on. So first, to just sprinkle in a little bit of a tease. Last week, I got a shipment of all of the monthly manifestation journals to my house. I literally felt so terrible for this man from FedEx. I was like, are you well, basically lifting an entire pallet of journals into my house? And he's like, no, I'm good. And honestly, shout out to all the UPS FedEx people out there because they are busting their asses. I was like, thank you so much. I literally gave him a tip because I was like, thank you for carrying all of these books up my stairs, but I'm so excited. The journals arrived. I am finalizing a couple things before they officially launch. It's coming very, very soon. I know I've teased this for a while, but so soon. Dates to come, launch plan to come, and roll out for you guys. So I'm very, very excited about that. And I am also excited because as part of the launch of these journals, there's going to be a very fun series to launch on the podcast as well that's in tandem with these journals. So very excited about that. And those episodes will be the final episodes that I'll leave you guys with before we go on our summer break. And honestly, it will kind of give you guys like ample time to really get into your own processes and your own kind of like manifestations, if you will. So very pumped about that and a fun series to come. So plenty more solo sessions are on their way. Yeah, so that's a little bit of kind of like housekeeping updates, but backing up a little bit. In our last episode with Amanda, where we went through Tortured Poets Department, and I kind of briefly chatted about my most recent travels to Paris, I wanted to kind of give you guys more of an update there. So it's a month ago now. Time is truly flying. But I went on a vacation with my boyfriend. We went to Paris and London, and we truly had just the best time. I had not been to Europe in so long. So my boyfriend like travels a lot for work, literally all around the world. He scales the world for work. So when we were traveling, we realized that he had been back to some of our favorite places many times while I was kind of like holding the fort down at home, had my other things going on, and he was just like traveling. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I have not been back here in almost over 3 years, which is so wild. And I say that just as kind of like a disclaimer, both of my parents are from Europe. So I was very privileged growing up being able to travel to see family in the respective countries my parents are from, Germany and London. And so just, it's very strange for me not to go back and see family. I mean, my brother literally lives in Berlin. So the fact that I hadn't been back to Europe in 3 years, I was like, please take me there. And it was so funny because Connor was like, when we were originally planning this trip, he's like, let's go to South America, let's go to Mexico. And I literally was like looking at him and I was like, no, babe, I literally cannot go to Mexico one more time. And it's because while he was like traveling, doing all of his travels the past couple of years, like I had so many random reasons I was down in Mexico. And it's so easy from California. It's a literal hop and a skip to get there. And, you know, Mexico City is a really fun place people go. I had a couple like work obligations that were down in Mexico as well. And we had like gone on our Costa Rica trip. And I was just like, I literally love South America, but please, I need to like see beautiful art-filled Paris. So anyways, I was so excited to go. We had the best time. We just were so on our own agenda and timeline. And I just love traveling and actually like not giving yourself too much of an agenda. Like you have an idea of a couple of the things you want to do, but for the most part, you were just like on your own timeline. You're marching to the beat of your own drum. And that is really what I needed. And I felt so inspired and refreshed afterwards. And anyways, this is just your little PSA that if you are needing a little trip, although I know summer's coming up and getting overseas can be extra expensive, I'm a huge fan of traveling on off seasons and capitalizing on less tourism and also like better deals. So even if it means just like planning ahead, I love just truly like sometimes I'll plan trips like 6 to 8 months ahead, which is maybe a little bit crazy. Some people I know don't operate like that, but for me, love doing that. So anyways, I just had the best time. We walked, I kid you not, like 20 to 30,000 steps a day, which is so easy to do when you were just wandering a city, going in and out of museums. And that's kind of like another takeaway that I have as part of kind of my own hormone health update, really about kind of like more physical movement, getting your steps in. It's just crazy to see how LA is such a car-centric city. And I'm not a sedentary person at all. I'm really always bopping around and working out and trying to get my daily walks in. But when you are visiting another city that is so much more walkable and just public transit friendly, the difference you realize is so drastic in terms of just how much more movement other people are getting in. So that was a really big awakening for me. So I have definitely been focused and prioritized on that. And then also speaking of Paris, just a quick little sprinkle for my fellow Taylor Swift fans. I am so obsessed with her entrance into the Eras Tour for Europe in Paris. I think it was this past Thursday that she had her intro Euro tour first day in Paris, night one. And I cannot tell you, thank the Lord for Chris Olsen on TikTok for live streaming the entire show. I feel like everyone and their sister was on that live stream, including Amanda and I. I was like, Amanda, are you on Chris's live stream? She's like, you bet your bottom dollar I am. And we were texting the whole time, like just gasping at all of the different changes. And to hear Tortured Poets Department live through a grainy screen was fucking epic. I am not even going to lie. Like there was one point where I was sobbing when she was playing The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived and Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. And I was just like, this is actually a work of art. Like I'm one of those people. I saw someone like comment on TikTok on one of the videos of Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. And someone had commented being like, I'm embarrassed to say that every time I re-see this video on my feed that I watch it from beginning to end. And I was like, oh no, same sister. Like I am right here with you. Rewatching that, I feel like Who's Afraid of Little Old Me has truly become an anthem song. I actually this week was on a walk and I just was blasting her album in my Air Maxes, like just walking around my neighborhood, scream, singing, and dancing. I was like, I don't even care what neighbors or who sees me. Like, I'm having the time of my life right now. And I'm here to just put myself on the line for your entertainment and for my embarrassment. I don't even care. So I have just been loving that. And if you have also been, I'm just with you. I'm right there with you. It's been amazing to watch that. And honestly, it's just so empowering. So anyways, that's kind of my little fun updates and musings lately. But I'm so excited to share with you guys a little bit more about my hormone health update and the routines that I have been implementing. And if you're someone who also has maybe been on your own hormone health journey or has kind of been curious to look into it because you've heard a lot of talk around it, use me as just like a great example of kind of like how and where to get started. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to my primary doctor and I did an annual kind of a lab work checkup, which if you guys tuned into any former episodes, I was definitely dragging my toes a bit on because I used to have this tiny little fear of getting my labs done. But I would have to say after this last time, I truly am really no longer fearful of it. It is something that I feel very happy to have exposed myself to and not be fearful to do it because it's so important to just be in front of your health and your wellness and make sure that you are always kind of like getting your labs done, going to your OB, all the fun things. So I went and I got lab work done and I'm so happy I did it because there have been a couple of things that I was curious to just get checked on. So I let my primary care doctor know that I wanted to kind of have him look into any sort of things that might indicate any PCOS or any sort of hormone markers. And he was so sweet. He was like, normally, like you can't do a normal hormone panel at your doctor, which by the way, is really wild that like you can't really request a hormone panel as a standard checkup, which is just a fucking gripe that I have with our medical system. And I would say I go to a very progressive doctor. So it was just wild to even hear from him. He was like, you're going to need to go through your OB to get like specific testing. Also, I believe you can ask for certain hormone panels through your primary care, but it is actually beneficial to go through a naturopath or an OB, just someone who is really focused on the endocrine system, your hormone system. So that is usually what you will go through to do a full hormone panel. You can do it through your primary care doctor. It will be $1,002,000. And I would say that they are less on the lookout for certain hormonal factors that maybe an endocrinologist or OB or hormone specialist would be more in the know for. So that's just like a little caveat. Like when you go get your labs done, it's just looking more at an overall health versus into your hormones. But I did let my primary know to kind of just like take a deeper look at some of the markers. His generic lab panel does go pretty deep. Like it does look into thyroid. It does look into different kind of like insulin resistant and glucose markers, which is really important. So I was really happy to just like get my regular panel done. And I haven't gone and done a secondary hormone panel with my OB, but I wanted to just get this original panel done to kind of be like, okay, do I need to take a step further and go get another panel done by my OB? So there's a little kind of like insight there. But I would say when it comes to your hormones, the two different types of testing that you should be doing is lab work. And then also you can do a Dutch test, which is basically like a pee test. And this is something you can actually order just online. It's not super cheap. A Dutch test is usually runs about like $300. So it is a bit of an investment. But basically you'll pick a day at home where you're chilling and not particularly like running high on stress. Like you kind of want to pick like an average day where maybe you're not like meeting a deadline for something for work. And basically what you'll do is you will just like pee on different like sticks at different periods throughout the day. And that's essentially the Dutch test, which you'll send in and they'll come back to you with this whole profile of different hormones that you can test through urine samples. So this is usually a big marker to test for anything with like cortisol and stress. So that is the Dutch test. And then your lab work, your blood work will look kind of more closely at other hormones like your thyroid, other things like your glucose, which would indicate any sort of like insulin and blood sugar dysregulation. And then, of course, if you went and did a full hormone panel with your endocrinologist, that would go even a layer deeper. So that's a little bit of like kind of testing 101. Anyways, I just have always kind of wanted to get this testing done because it is something that I have like had a bit of an inkling around in terms of different symptoms that I've been experiencing around my menstrual cycle, around my insulin levels, around my weight and movement. And so it's been really helpful. I would say a great resource that I've kind of been obsessed with lately has been Dr. Jolene Brighton's book called Is This Normal? And it is such a phenomenal resource. I just highly recommend getting your hands on this because it gives you the insight into kind of like hormones 101. Like, what are they? What should we be looking for? What means that I might be off in kind of different types of hormone dysregulation? And so I love this because she broke it down into such layman's terms. Like I said, I feel like this concept can be a little bit daunting because you're like, what? How would I know? I remember when I first heard about like checking into your hormones, I was like, well, how would I know? And so Dr. Jolene Brighton is an amazing resource. First off, her Instagram account is iconic. And then of course, she's written a couple books, including, I believe she wrote the book, Getting Off the Pill. She's all about really learning how to get off of any sort of hormonal birth control and doing it in a way that isn't going to literally disrupt your entire system, because many of us have had horror stories of just going cold turkey off of birth control. And so if you've ever thought about doing that, please go tune into her resources because she is just such a North Star and has so many protocols that are just so helpful for really just managing hormones. So anyways, I got my little hands on this book, and after getting my labs back, I had an inkling about this, but I realized I'm very, very kind of like low cusp insulin resistant. So basically that means that my blood sugar drops and spikes differently. And I am someone who kind of has dealt with this a lot of my life, to be honest. Like, I come from a family where we're like, oh, we're just like hypoglycemic. Like, we just like get hungry all of a sudden and like just always need to have snacks. And like, I'm the girl who always needs to have little snacks on me. And I kind of realized a couple months ago that it felt like it was just different than what maybe I had always been used to, or I had a couple instances where I just had like a couple spikes and drops in my blood sugar because I was maybe like not nourishing the right way, or like I'd like accidentally skip a meal and then like be ravenous and almost like desperate for food, like the like shakiness, like I need to eat food right fucking now. And so there were a couple instances where I was just like, okay, like I think it would be really good to test what my fasted glucose is. And so when I got my labs back, it was nothing concerning, but it was just something that I definitely need to look out for because it could put me on a potential like pre-diabetic track, which it's important to really like be testing your hormones for these reasons, right? Because it is important to get ahead of any kind of things that could really affect your life in terms of health. And so I'm really proud of myself for getting tested and just being like, okay, this is something that I've definitely dealt with. I've felt the symptoms of being insulin resistant, which is a cornerstone of some PCOS symptoms. So that's why I am also going to go to my endocrinologist / OB and get a hormone panel done, because I am curious to see if I might be dealing with some symptoms of PCOS. I don't feel like I meet all of the PCOS markers, but there is a chance that like I could be dealing with kind of like mild symptoms. So it's something that I just want to get more information around and feel more empowered around. So that was something that I discovered. And because of that, I have really kind of given myself like a whole new health protocol. I know I mentioned on some former episodes that part of the reason why I'm taking a little bit of a summer break with the podcast is that I really just want to like focus my summer on me and my health and my wellness and just like really allow myself to have routines and structure for myself in a way that is prioritizing me and that's really, really filling my cup. So I'm so excited to kickstart that. I actually have already kickstarted it. And it kind of worked in perfect timing because after I had gotten these labs done, I have been very much into my local Pilates studio lately. And one of the instructors I just love, she's one of those girls who kind of like kicks your ass in the right way. Like, it's so funny because she's sweet as can be, but is also kind of a hard ass, which I love. And she is probably the most challenging Pilates that I've ever taken. And so anyways, she, I think, had announced one time in one of her classes that she also is a nutritionist and does like health routines and helps people build different protocols around their wellness and their wellness goals. And so I was like, this is truly divine timing. And so For the past, I would say, month and a half, I have been working with her not only on just like fitness goals, but also nutrition protocols to help me manage some of these different insulin dysregulations. And let me tell you, I have had a world of difference in just kind of like how I feel from the inside out. It's actually crazy. I feel like I first started kind of a little bit of my own like nutrition protocol very much when I started tackling my hormonal acne, which, by the way, you guys, I've healed. Go tune into my past two episodes with Alicia Pullen, who is my facialist. We talk a lot about hormonal acne, and I talk a bit about my own journey with curing that. But I would say the first time that I really kind of put myself a bit on a nutrition protocol was for my hormones in terms of my skin. And I feel like there's so many wellness tips and tricks floating in the air. And I'm the type of girl who needs a reason. Like, I'm not going to do it unless I happen to love doing something. Otherwise, I'm not going to be like motivated, you know, because it sometimes just feels like there's too much out there. So I'm very much a person who's like, I am doing this for XYZ reason. And usually a vanity reason is not going to put a flame under my ass. So a great example is me getting this lab work back and being like, you know what? This is actually like a flame under my ass for like getting my levels back. Like, let's reverse this shit because I'm at a point where I actually can. And I have the power and the tools around me to be able to do so. And so honestly, like this really was fuel to my fire. So I've been working with her on an entire nutrition protocol, and it's really been amazing because I've been predominantly eating like protein first. So I would say something I've learned about myself is that I function really well and I just feel really good and satiated eating kind of keto. And that's not to say that I'm someone who's like not eating carbs and having like a yummy ass cookie or like, I'm never the girl who's ever going to restrict anything, but I just have been really reorganizing how I eat and like what I'm satiating myself with, because I think a lot of the way I was eating formerly was kind of like grab and go or like whatever's available and whatever's quickest. And sometimes I'd be eating things that I didn't realize were giving me a total blood sugar spike and not satiating me and just kind of like not helping me in the long run at all. And so working with this fitness nutrition coach has been everything because I've really learned what feels like really stabilizing to me and that I can like operate on throughout the day and feel really good. And it also made me realize that I don't need to feel like bad about being the girl who like needs snacks or has snacks around. I'm like, okay, there's actually a reason here. I've been obsessed, just like side plug, unaffiliated. I don't know if you guys have heard of Chomps. They're kind of just like these healthy like meat sticks. Like I would say literally like healthy beef jerky vibes, but I get the turkey or beef ones and they're so delicious. They sell them at Whole Foods and I just started subscribing to them on Amazon, but those have been my favorite snack. So I've very, very much been working with protein first. It's been epic. So yeah, protein has been really major, kind of eating a little bit more keto. I just feel really good eating fats and proteins and like a ton of veggies and then having carbs a little bit later or like mixed in. So that has felt really amazing, very, very nutrient dense. And really kind of like when you do deal with insulin resistance, it's kind of best not to have a ton of carbs, like carbs you want to put down, and same with any sort of sugars. And it's not to say that I can't have those, but I have a strategy where like I will have my full meal and then I'll have like a little bit of something sweet. It's just made me so much more intentional instead of being hungry and reaching for like a sugary like protein bar or whatever it might be that's going to spike me. I'd rather satiate with something that is actually going to stabilize me and like hold me out. So that has been revolutionizing, truly. The other thing that I've been kind of doing in terms of nutrition has been eating a lot of anti-inflammatory foods like cold water fish, olive oils. I've been very into turmeric and ginger. So I've been putting those into my smoothies. It's really, really lovely. I actually get the like frozen ginger cubes from Trader Joe's and I just like pop those baddies right out into my smoothie and that is super easy. I also have, this is so random, but cinnamon is something that is really helpful when it specifically comes to blood sugar stabilization. So I have actually been putting that and sprinkling that on top of my lattes, which has been awesome. And then I've also been just taking green tea. I say taking because I'm using a supplement that I can't say what it is yet because it's pre-launch, but I've been using a supplement that has green tea in it. And I've also just been drinking a lot of green tea, which has been known to help improve blood sugar levels. So that specifically has kind of been my thing. I want to say that this is a hunch because I haven't gotten my hormones tested in terms of like hormonal issues that I've detected from Dr. Jolene Brighton's book. I think it really is insulin dysregulation for me. That might be one of my kind of like hormone markers. But other things that you might be dealing with would be high cortisol. You could be dealing with low cortisol, testosterone, low testosterone, or high testosterone. You could be dealing with low progesterone, low estrogen. So there's a lot of different things that basically Dr. Brighton has outlined in her book, like all of the different types of hormonal imbalances you can have, and then protocols for each, which is so helpful. So from her book, another thing that I am looking to play around with is different supplements. I haven't gotten it yet, but I've heard majorly good things about inositol and myonisitol, which a lot of people take for PCOS. So that is something that I am very interested in exploring. I already do take an omega-3 fatty acid, which I want to say is one of the claims to fame for my hormonal acne and really helping to cure that. And then another thing is magnesium glycinate, which I do take a magnesium every single day. I take the Array magnesium capsules. I take 3 of those every single night, and I pretty much swear by those. I used to take the Moon Juice magnesium, but I didn't love the taste. And also, I just wanted like something easy and in pill form so I didn't have to always make a beverage. And then another thing Dr. Brighton mentions is to take berberine 3 times a day, which has been shown to be beneficial for insulin sensitivity and benefit people who deal with PCOS. So those are things in terms of supplements. And then on top of that, I would say the cherry on top in terms of things that really much help with any sort of insulin resistance, and which is why I feel so empowered working with a fitness coach around this, is all about building muscle. My dad is so sweet. He sent me, everyone in my family is like in the medical field. And so anything that comes up, I'm like, I send everyone my labs. And so he was listening to this Huberman episode, I'll link it below. And he was like, listen, 30 minutes in. And it's all about really the importance of strength training for if you do deal with blood sugar imbalances. And really how helpful it is that strength training benefits any sort of insulin resistance. And I have learned, even from listening to this Huberman episode, that if you can, after any meal, just walking 5 to 10 minutes around the block, like it does not have to be like a crazy exercise, can help reduce an insulin spike by 30%. So basically, like, eating and then immediately moving your body is so helpful for managing blood sugar and not having it just like spike as high. Another thing that I'm going to be doing that I will keep you guys posted on is I actually believe I'm going to be getting a glucose monitor just for the hell of it. Like, I'm just like into data and metrics. And I feel like when I get my hands hooked into something, like I want to understand it from the inside out. So I am going to track just kind of like different foods that do spike my blood sugar, because at the end of the day, everybody has like unique foods that very much spike their glucose. And, you know, it's not always one size fits all. So I'm going to be using that and I'll keep you guys posted, but I'm very excited to kind of track. And again, like, this is very much just for me to have more information about how my body works, what feels good for my body, and how I can really optimize it. And I hope, like, honestly, it can empower you guys to feel the same way about just like looking into your own health and wellness and really like the importance of getting lab work done and just feeling like you are in the know and working with your body and not against it. Speaking of not working against your body, a huge thing for me has been a stress check. It was probably about 2 months ago now, maybe a little more, that I was just like, I can't keep operating at God's speed. And so I just really much had a reality check with myself where I was like, why are we moving this fast? And like, do we need to? And I very much kind of have been reconfiguring even just how I operate day to day. It's felt so much better, truly, to take a pause before I have the inclination to do something to be like, wait, one full inhale, exhale. Does this need to get done right now? Or can it wait? Or can it be put off? Or can it be rescheduled? And that has been so major in my life because as someone who just likes to get things done and off the plate, it can serve me, but at other times it really will not. And so having a stress check has been really major. And when I say stress check, it's just like check in with myself, like make sure that I am really not kind of like popping off my adrenals and telling my adrenals to release those sugar hormones, which again, affects the glucose levels. So it's just important. And I think a good step to take is to just make a list of any major stressors in your life and just like list them out, right? Like whether or not you have a choice around them or not, and just list them out, see them on paper. And then from there, kind of just be like, is there wiggle room here? Is there gray area? You know, so many times, especially around stress, like we get caught in the black and white thinking loop. And I think it's so important to just be like, hey, quick pause here. How important is this? Does this actually have a grip over me like I think it does? Is there wiggle room here? Can this be renegotiated? And so I think it's so important just to see everything black and white on paper. You know, for me, I literally wrote everything down, like every single thing that I do in my life. I was like, let me just like list out all the things that like are to-dos in my life. And once I did that, that's where I was able to let go and be like, you know what, this is actually maybe not as important and can be demoted or renegotiated. So just want to give you that little bit of sprinkle, especially coming from someone who just thinks that they can do it all and realizing that it always takes a village no matter what. You always need support. You always need a team around you. It's so important, whether that's friends, whether that's doctors, whether that's family, whether that's just emotional support systems, therapy, whatever you name it. Like we all need a team around us. We are tribe, community, sapiens, humans. We are humans. We're meant for tribes and communities. And so it's so important to know that we have that and it's not just all on us. So that's kind of a bit of my protocol around stress. And then the other thing that I've been working on in terms of my hormones is sleep. Sleep, you guys. Number freaking one thing in the world, sleep. I think I was trying to trick myself to think that I was someone who really only needed like 6 hours of sleep a night. I mean, listen, I can function on 6 hours of sleep. It's not really making that much of a difference. This is funny because I have other family members, like I'm thinking of my brother specifically. He's like, Tati, no, you don't understand. If I do not get 9 hours plus of sleep, I am a train wreck. And I was like, really? And he's like, no, like my sleep affects me so much. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting to be literally like siblings with you. And I'm someone who I'm not that affected by sleep. Like, yeah, if I get like 4 hours, I'm going to be the train wreck. But I don't know if I'm getting 6+, like I can get by, like I'm still chipper and like getting on with things. But I feel like I was kind of tricking myself into that because I was just like, well, I don't feel it that drastically. But since I have been on my new health protocol, I've been prioritizing 8+ hours of sleep. So I read somewhere that women need 9 hours of sleep a night and 10 hours of sleep when you're on your menstrual cycle. 10 hours, you guys, that's a lot of sleep. I know a lot of us aren't getting 10 hours of sleep a night, especially on our menstrual cycles. So anyways, I've been very much prioritizing this and really hoping to get quality sleep. I also listened to a podcast recently. I think it was on Mari Llewellyn's podcast, The Pursuit of Wellness. And there was a sleep expert on, and he was really talking about how things like alcohol and even weed, like when people smoke weed to quote unquote sleep, actually prevents you from getting into a type of REM that your system needs. And when you are drinking or smoking before bed, you might think you had a good night's sleep, but the quality of your sleep wasn't as good. So it's very much all about sleep quality as well. So that has been super important to me. And I think I've mentioned on the show before, but I've been very into mouth taping. I did not want to admit this to myself a couple months ago, but I am absolutely a mouth breather. Like I didn't want to admit it to myself, but since using mouth tape, I'm pretty much addicted to it now. I sleep with it every single night. I now breathe through my nose, and When I fucking tell you, I wake up like an Energizer bunny because of nose breathing. It's no joke. I am bouncing off the walls. I remember the first couple nights that I tried Mouthteep. Connor was like, who is this? Because I'm already a very energetic person. And he's like, oh my goodness, where is all this energy coming from in the morning? Like, it just has helped so tremendously with me getting quality sleep. So I'm absolutely loving that. And then if I'm also going to be like totally transparent with you guys, another thing that I have been working on that's listed in Dr. Brighton's book for dealing with insulin resistance is dealing with targeted visceral fat. So visceral fat is not just like weight or body fat. It's actually the fat that hangs out around our organs. And that's problematic when it comes to releasing hormones that make us insulin resistant. So I am very much on a little bit of a weight loss journey. I would not say that I'm someone who felt like I necessarily needed to lose a lot of weight, but being super transparent with you guys, I was always very comfortable with my weight and how I was for a very long time. And I would say in the past like 3+ years, it kind of started like in 2020. I just ended up gaining a little bit more weight than I am used to carrying. And I've kind of lost it since the like peak of when that happened for me in 2020. And I've kind of brought it back to like more of my normal level. But I would say that I still don't feel like I am who I was and who I always like knew myself and my body as. And I think it's also been a bit of like a journey of being like, listen, I'm not like 25 anymore, 24. Like, my body is changing. Like, this is part of coming into womanhood, you know, like leaning into your curves, like leaning into your body. So it hasn't been like a particular sore point, if you will. But I would say that, like, I was even telling my fitness coach, like when I first met with her, I was like, listen, like, I definitely don't like recognize myself how I always did. And like, I am very tall. I'm basically almost 5'11". So like putting on weight is different. Like, I do have a bit of like luck in terms of like the distribution of it. It's something that like isn't as noticeable at first, but it's noticeable to me. And so it's just something that I just want to get in check. And I think it wasn't something that I ever was like, oh, this doesn't mean that much to me, because it felt like a vanity thing. And I was like, I don't know if I like have the time and effort to put all of this like into my body and my physique right now. Like, it's interesting. I think I've had a conversation around this with Amanda too, where it's just like, Amanda's been like, listen, like, I know what it takes to like get to where I want to go. And it's a matter of like, is it the effort that I want to put in? And I feel like there was a time where it was just like, I have so many other priorities that like, it's okay that I don't feel like 100% myself. And it was really after I got these labs back that I was like, okay, now I have numbers and a reason to make some changes. And so I am very much looking to get that under check and kind of like tone up and lean out a little bit, really in terms of my hormonal health and any sort of like insulin resistance. So that's been like really important. And I feel like I would be inauthentic not to mention that as part of this. So it's just very much given me a reason. And I think that is very much my point here. Like, there's so much shit that's being thrown around and thrown at the wall when it comes to wellness and our well-being. And there's so many shoulds that particularly women have so much pressure around. And so I don't blame us for like kind of pushing a lot of those things to the wayside, or maybe being like, this isn't for me. This feels like it doesn't apply. Yeah, I just feel like getting my numbers and labs back really gave me a reason to want to kind of put certain health protocols at the forefront. So I will keep you guys posted as I kind of venture through this more, as I get that glucose monitor I was talking about. And I'm excited to do a recap later in the fall when I'm back to chat a little bit about those updates. And also, I'm really excited because Alyssa Vitti, her team reached out to me, and I'm pumped because she is just a massive figure in the hormonal health space, the period and menstrual care space, and I am so excited to chat with her. So I'm happy to like kind of even have some of my own questions. I hope that this kind of like inspires you to take a peek into each of their work. And I guess all that to say is that I'm going to be having some more hormone specialists come on the show to be diving way more deeply into things that I can only scratch the surface of. So I am very excited to have those interviews and really bring a lot more content around the hormone health space. I would also say too that a really big thing that's helped in my own hormonal journey has been cycle syncing. So just to give you guys a bit of a recap on what cycle syncing is very briefly, it's looking at all four phases of your cycle and taking into account how you want to show up for yourself and for your body, basically based on the season of your phase. So what I mean by that is your cycle very much mimics the four seasons. So when we look at the menstrual phase, which is the bleeding phase of your period, it is almost equivalent to the season of winter. Then you go into your follicular phase right after you're done bleeding, which is almost like the spring, like this renewal after the shedding process. Then you go into your ovulatory phase, which is like summer, almost kind of like hot girl summer, if you will. Like it's when you're hot and heavy and just feeling like that girl. And then in your fourth phase of your menstrual cycle, your luteal phase, it's when you're in the fall equivalent of your cycle. So it's very much like you're entering kind of that cozy period. Things are getting a little bit more quiet, moodier, all that. So cycle syncing is very much leaning into the four phases. With all things nutrition, with all things movement, with all things how you show up and socialize and how you show up for yourself and how you're taking care. And it's so cool to actually do your wellness protocols in line with your cycle, which is cycle syncing. And I would say very much a lot of the hormone protocol that I put myself on is just taking my cycle way much more into account. I'll give you guys like a pretty concrete example. I got my period just this weekend and I was feeling so slow and lethargic. And I just was like, oh, just a little brain foggy, which kind of happens on day one or two. Many people who have a menstrual cycle can relate to that. And I was kind of fighting it at first. I was like, oh, you know, like I like the vibrant, fun, bopping around version of myself. And so sometimes I've realized that I really don't love like my menstrual phase as much. I'm trying to kind of like rewrite that narrative because it feels like it slows me down. And it's painful. You guys get it. And so this weekend, I just was like, you know what, Tati? Stop like beating yourself up for this and wishing it wasn't how it is. Just lean in. Like let yourself relax. Like take it as the time of shedding, as the time of releasing, as the time of restoring and like tapping into your intuition. My favorite account to follow is Sam Doyle. I've had her on the podcast before. I'll link the show below all about cycle syncing. I am going to be having her back soon as well. So I guess I'll just say stay tuned for a fun episode on that. But she's just so good about kind of like rewriting the narrative around your cycle and maybe like what you historically may not have liked so much about it and how you can make it something that actually works for you and not against you. And so syncing with that, with my nutrition and my movement has been just so liberating. You know, it's just allowed me to lean into different paces and give myself the break and rest and let my body work for me. I find that like when I go against that and against my system and just kind of like force and power through, it actually does me more harm than benefit. I'll find myself more exhausted later on. Like I didn't give myself like the restoration that I needed. So I just find cycle syncing to be so awesome. And it just has been an amazing part of my routine. So yeah, just looking at it kind of as those four seasons is a really great place to start. So during your menstrual cycle, it's that shedding time, getting quiet. You'll want to kind of eat more of those more nutrient, dense, nourishing foods. Think like sweet potatoes and kale and like sushi. Like you'll want like sashimi, just like all of those nutrients and very nutrient dense foods that are just going to feel so nourishing. It's funny because usually right before my period, so in the luteal phase, I'm like needing red meat. I'm like, please get me a burger or like a steak or something really delicious. So that is my body like preparing itself for all of the iron and like the, like basically the bleeding period. So yeah, the menstrual phase is like winter, and think of yourself as slowing down and allowing yourself to kind of like cozy up and just like take a step back. Like you are not going to be your most social, vibrant self. Again, like I try really hard. I track my cycle. It's on an app. It's called, I think, Aivia, A-A-I-V-A. I really love it. Great, great app. And as much as I can predict my period, sometimes it's like there's a little bit of lag, but I try and look at that and make sure like when I'm like on my menstrual cycle, I'm not planning really social obligations. It's just, if I feel like it, then it'll happen in the moment, but I'm not packing my schedule densely. When it comes to follicular and ovulation phases, that's a little different. The spring and summer vibe is like you're eating lighter foods, you have a spring in your step, you're like can do those crazy workouts and like HIIT training, and you know, you're feeling like your most vibrant social self. That is usually when I'm kind of like doing all of my social things and like really feeling super vibrant. And then when you hit that luteal phase, it's a little bit more of that fall season. It's much slower, kind of like cocooning again, preparing for that menstrual phase. So yeah, it's been really, really amazing to cycle sync, lean into that. And I'll keep you guys closely posted in the coming weeks as I kind of continue on my health journey. I'm really, really excited about it. I have like so much energy behind it. That's when you know, you're like, I'm really serious about this. And it feels good to have that under my belt. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. I hope that you learned a little bit about kind of the hormone journey, and I hope that it inspires you guys to get a little bit of testing done around it. Even before you get to testing, just do a little bit of reading. I highly recommend getting your hands on this book, Dr. Jolene Brighton, Is This Normal? Judgment-free, straight talk about your body. It's all things like sex, hormones, periods, and basically everything you've wanted to know about your body and how it gets turned on, libido. Like this book is so dense and such a great resource. So I highly recommend just like starting there, getting familiar, listening to a few podcasts about it, like just dipping your toes in the water and taking it one step at a time. But I'm really excited to update you guys along the way. I also can't wait for these monthly manifestation journals to come out. So stay closely connected to the bedside, Instagram, us on TikTok, and then of course, obviously the podcast. You guys are usually the first to know everything and anything. So I'm very pumped about that. I've been deep in my May archetype. I also have some May journal prompts. If you guys are kind of looking to journal about the month of May, kind of get started on your own archetype and manifestations for this month. So if you head over to our Instagram at the bedside, you can check out the May journal prompts. And yeah, also head to the link in bio over at the bedside because you can sign up for a wait list. Again, that will also like keep you at the front lines for when this journal comes out and you'll be the first to know. So thank you guys. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week and I'll catch you next. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Bedside Podcast. I hope you loved this episode as much as we did making it. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episodes, or if you just want to chat, don't hesitate to reach out to us at The Bedside on Instagram and thebedside.co online. You can also find us at By The Bedside on TikTok. To stay updated on our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred platform. And if you found this episode valuable, I would so greatly appreciate if you could leave us a rating, a review, text it to a friend, share it to your Instagram stories. Let's get this message out there loud and clear. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.